Tonight, I would like for us to begin with the introduction of it. Would you stand with me as I read? I want us to look at Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, just to set our stage. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses.'" Father God, how grateful we are, Lord, that we have a copy. Father, we have records and we have this history. And Father, I just pray that over the next couple of months, Lord, you would help us as we learn to study, as we learn about this book of Joshua. Father, all the richness that's in it. Father, I pray that you would help us to be here and that, Father, we would be faithful to come and, Father, you would be faithful to speak and that you would open our hearts to you. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin tonight, what I would like for us to do is just kind of an introduction, get us prepared, understanding where we are, what we're going to be studying, because like I say, we're going to do a study of this book. It's got, I think, 24 chapters. We're going to go a little bit through all of those. We're not going to be able to go verse by verse through everything. But let me just kind of bring you up to speed where we are. Maybe some things you know, maybe some things you don't know. This is where you might want to take some notes. This book that we call the Bible, we call it a book, is actually a library. There are 66 books in this book. 66 books comprise what we call the Word of God, or the book, or the Bible, and it's broken down into two parts. You have the Old Testament, and you have the New Testament, or it actually stands for the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. God made a covenant in the beginning. The New Covenant was made when Jesus Christ comes. That's where the change is in God's book. The first part of the book, the Old Testament, is foretelling and reaching out and telling us all about Christ and the Messiah. When we come to the New Testament, we have his life, his death, his burial, resurrection, and the start of the church. But let me break it down even more for you, and we're going to break this down onto several levels. Of the two covenants, the Old Testament has 39 books in it, and the New Testament has 27 books. It's going to be very interesting in just a moment. Let me go through this for you here. The Old Testament, and we have the two parts, Old Testament, New Testament of the book. Now, if we look at just the Old Testament, it breaks down into five different sections, how they group those books together. The first section is called the Law. It's attributed to Moses, and it contains five books. You might have heard it called the Pentateuch, but it contains those first five. Then the second section is history, or the Old Testament narrative, and it has the next 12 books from Joshua all the way through Esther. It's a narrative. It's telling of a story. It's also history. The third section is what's called wisdom literature. There's five books there. Job through the Song of Solomon. The fourth section is the major prophets. Five books is Isaiah to Daniel. And then the fifth section are the minor prophets, 12 books, Hosea to Malachi. I was really curious when I was in not mortuary school, when I was in seminary, and I kept hearing about the major prophets and the minor prophets, and I was like, I need to find out. There is something theological to make them major prophets and minor prophets, and let me tell you, it's the length of the book. Major prophets are longer books. minor prophets or shorter books. Just kind of blew my steam. But that's how, when you hear about a major prophet, those five books, they're longer than the minor prophets, which are a little shorter. Now, the second half of the Bible, the New Testament, it's broke down into four sections. The first section of the New Testament is called narrative, and most consider that to be five books, Matthew through Acts. We're hearing the story of the life of Jesus. The apostles are writing. They're telling about what happened. It's a narrative that you can follow along with. You get into Acts, which is the beginning of the church. And then the second section is the Pauline epistles. There are 13 books there. Romans through Philemon. You're writing that down. P-H-I-L-E-M-O-N. Philemon. And then you go into the general epistles or letters. That's eight books. Hebrews through Jude. And then the last is apocalyptic epistles, which is one, the book of Revelation, also known as prophecy. But if you notice, I said something there that's revelation. A lot of times we hear Revelations on there. Let's see if my batteries are going low there. But it's revelation. It was a revelation to one person. Some consider Romans through Jude as letters, but typically it's those four categories. So that gives us a broad overview of what we're studying. But what's interesting that we see is Joshua is the first book of the history. The section on history, we have Moses, we have creation, we have the fall of man, then we have the flood, and then the people come back and they go into slavery. Then Moses comes on scene, God hears his people, brings them out of slavery, and we get up to the promised land. The people don't go in. They turn around. They wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then here they are now approaching back to the entrance to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And that's where Joshua comes on picture as we look at a timeline of the Bible. We understand that God promised Abraham the land of Canaan. And what we're looking at through all of this is the faithfulness of God. And I believe at times in our life, we have to remember that God's faithful, just like his people did, because God promised Abraham the land of Canaan. And here it is, a little more than 500 years later, God hadn't forgotten them. He's brought them to the promised land. Moses is fixing to die. He's called up to Joshua. Joshua was Moses' replacement, and it was done by God. But who is Joshua? If we're going to spend 2 months looking at the book of Joshua, we probably need to know a little bit about who he was. He was what's known as an Ephraimite. He was from the line of Ephraim, which was one of Joseph's two sons. You remember Joseph was sold by his brothers to some caravanners that come by and took him. He ended up rising in power. They had the big famine. He was over all of that. Well, he had two children there, Ephraim and Manasseh. You can read about that in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Gives you that whole list. So Joshua falls in that line. But here's something I found interesting. Do you know that Joshua was not his original name? In the book of Numbers, we hear where Moses changed his name. His original name was Hosea, which means salvation. But Moses changed it to Joshua, which means God saves. Remember what I told you Sunday? Names are important in the Bible. They have meanings and they're important. So we're looking at Joshua, who is the Ephraimite. He's the in the line there from Jacob and down. Joshua is a book that is rich in history, but all through it we're going to see the reflections of Christ. Y'all give me just a minute, change battery. right, we'll see if this does better. But all through Joshua, we see a reflection of Christ and who Christ is. Some call, you have Joshua, and then you have the greater Joshua speaking of Christ. And the Bible, it has a thread or a running theme that goes all the way through the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And you see the theme and the idea of God's love and redemption that is available for his people. But according to one gentleman by the name of Dr. Robert Smith Jr., he said this, "Examining the Word reveals a thread of familiarity running through the book of Joshua, Hebrews, and Ephesians. These three books have the thread of inheritance running throughout their fabric." All three of these books are dealing with and talking about inheritance. You see, Joshua led the people into a new home, a new inheritance, the land of Canaan. Jesus leads us to our new inheritance, to heaven. Joshua led the people to freedom and rest, and Jesus leads people to freedom and rest as well. You're going to see a lot of familiarities. Remember, the Old Testament is foretelling and pushing us to the Messiah that was to come. Let's look at, it's interesting how you can take, and maybe you've heard of people interpreting Scripture. The best way to interpret Scripture is to let Scripture interpret Scripture. And there's oftentimes that you can find a correlation of New Testament referencing or being in a line with the Old Testament. Take your Bibles and open to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 14, and once you're there, say amen. Romans 8, 14. It says, "For all are who being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified in him." We'll give you just a minute, let you think, and it might not jump out at you. But there is a strong theological reference here, something that we base a lot of our religion off of, which actually goes back all the way to the first verse of the book of Genesis when it talks about God. Understanding that God is a plural word, and we believe in what's called the Trinity. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You will have people who will argue with you that Trinity is no such thing. They said you will never find Trinity in the Bible, referring to God. I agree to a point. You will never find the words Trinity, but you see it throughout all of Scripture, and it's right here. Let me walk you through these. God the Father, look at verse 15. The last part says, "We cry out, Abba, Father." You have the second part, God the Son. Look at verse 17. "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." There is Christ. Third, the Holy Spirit. We see it in both verses 14 and 15. 14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God," and 15, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption." In verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies." So we can look in Scripture and we can see that, and we can begin to see how these go together. And that's what we're going to look at through these next few weeks as we go through there. So what are we going to be looking at in the book of Joshua? But we're going to be looking at the idea that God is faithful. Just kind of like the top of your little page there says, Joshua, the faithfulness of God. We're going to be looking at how is it that we can trust God. We talked about Abraham. That kind of set the stage. We'll talk a little bit about Joshua coming up on a Sunday. But God is faithful. But what we see in this book is that God did not abandon his children, his people. He didn't leave them. Well, what does that mean for me? Well, I believe we read in God's word, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As a believer, God is not going to leave you. He will remain faithful. God's promises stand. God made a covenant back 500 years ago, as I mentioned, with Abraham. And now he's bringing it around to completion on this part of giving them the land. God brought his people to the promised land, but what we have to understand is that God's timing is not our timing. But God's timing is perfect timing. Amen. So we understand that God's faithful. We like him to work in our time, but he doesn't always work in our time, but he works in perfect timing. And that's what I'm thankful for with our God, that he is faithful, that I can trust that I can know that will happen. Also, we see something that is different. Remember, I told you the Bible was broken into two covenants or two testaments. You have the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, the New Covenant, and the New Testament. There is one major, hear me, one major difference that I want us to see, and that difference is because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, we read and we see that God's Spirit rested on Joshua. He was God's chosen leader. God's Spirit in the Old Testament would come and rest on or come over and overshadow someone that God was calling to do something. When that mission was over, the Spirit would leave. We read that all throughout, that God's chosen man, Solomon, for instance, God had his Spirit with him and overshadowed him. Thank you. And overshadowed him, and when his hair was cut, the Spirit had left. We see King David praying, don't let your Spirit leave from me. But we see throughout that God's Spirit would come on and it would come off. Then the Spirit would leave them. But in the New Testament, when Jesus ascended to heaven after his resurrection, what did he do? He told the apostles to go and wait until the Spirit comes upon you, that he would send. And the difference is today, this side of the cross and the resurrection, when the Spirit comes upon us, when does that happen? The moment of your salvation. It's not something that happens later. The moment you receive Christ, the Spirit of God comes to rest upon you. But more than that, we read he comes to dwell in you, and he will never leave you. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he comes to stay with us. And I hope that brings you hope. Hope that brings you encouragement tonight to know that as a believer, the Spirit's with you and he's not going to leave you. We can grieve the Spirit, but the Spirit doesn't leave us. We will be looking at, through this study, God's faithfulness. We will also have an inside peek into Joshua's life and see the resemblance of Christ, the foreshadowing of Christ through Joshua's life. Each week we'll build on the next as we systematically work our way through the book of Joshua. And let me just encourage you, you're not going to want to miss a night. We're going to build. You're going to build a notebook, a resource to have. And if you miss a part, then you're going to have a gap in your story there. So you want to be sure and be here. We will have time of music, as we always do, time of Bible study, and we will still have time of prayer each Wednesday night. But I'm excited to go through this study. I'm excited what I'm learning through it and exciting what you're going to learn through it. Would you bow your heads?